How about the Shiva?
مارجی کا نارے سلوا اللہم صل علی محمد و آل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته الأقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: يا علي مثلك مثل الكعبة، تؤتى ولا تأتي، تحج ولا تحج. صلوات. الله سبحانه وتعالى has mentioned in the Holy Quran that جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْكَعْبَةَ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامَ قِيَامًا لِلنَّاسِ. Allah has made the Holy Kaaba, the house of Allah, to be a means of survival, a means of uprising, a means of standing up for the humanity. And tonight I would like to shed some light about the third hadith of the Holy Prophet, which is about the Holy Kaaba. In Islam, the Holy Kaaba enjoys a special position in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there are certain responsibilities on every Muslim throughout the world towards this great house of God, which is considered to be the first house of worship ever built for the humanity. In أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة, the first house ever created for the sake of communal worship was the Holy Kaaba. And that was the answer given to the Jews when they objected on the Holy Prophet after the Qibla was changed from Bayt al-Muqaddas towards the Holy Kaaba. And they used to object on Islam that Bayt al-Muqaddas is the oldest house of worship. The same answer was given to them that the oldest house is not Bayt al-Muqaddas, instead it is the Holy Kaaba, which is the oldest house ever built for the worship for the sake of humanity. And we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam has said in one of his statements that Ana Musalli al-Qiblatain, I am the only one, in other words, who prays towards both the Qiblas. And this is one of the fazail of Imam Ali alayhi salam, which is specific to Imam Ali and no one else other than Imam Ali alayhi salam, that when the ayat of changing of Qibla arrived during the prayers of the Holy Prophet, the prayers of everyone else other than Imam Ali became batil, and Imam Ali was the only person praying behind the Holy Prophet who converted towards the direction and moved towards the same direction towards which the Holy Prophet changed. So his prayers was valid along with the Holy Prophet. And he has said in one of his statements that Ana Musalli al-Qiblatain, I am the one who prayed towards both the Qiblas. So what I was telling you, that tonight I would like my youth to understand a little bit about the Holy Kaaba. What does the Kaaba stand for? There's a lot to be said about this great house, which was constructed by two infallible prophets of Allah by His command, Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ismail alayhi salam, and which also signifies the importance of this house in the eyes of Allah. We find once Zurara ibn Ayyan, one of the great companions of Imam Baqir and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, came to the Imam and said that I have been coming on and off to you to learn the ahkam of Hajj since 20 years. And you have been telling me about the ahkam of Hajj since all those long years. When will the masail and rulings about Hajj end? It's long time now I have been learning the masail of Hajj from you. And Imam Sadiq al-Islam said that this house, Hajj has been performed towards this house since 2000 years before the creation of Prophet Adam. You want the masail to be finished in those few years? Which Imam mentioned. So of course, Hajj, this house is the oldest house. We don't know how much every prophet of Allah, every messenger of God performed the Hajj. And angel of Allah performed. We find that as long as Kaaba is standing up straight, the whole religion Islam will remain standing up straight. Because Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, لا يزال الدين قائما ما قامت الكعبة. The religion Islam will remain standing up straight as long as Kaaba stands up straight. There's a direct connection between the survival of Islam and the survival of Kaaba. What a great connection. لَا يَزَالُ الدِّينُ قَائِمًا مَا قَامَتِ الْكَعْبَةِ. This religion will remain standing up straight as long as Kaaba is standing up straight. The moment you find, na'uzubillah, that Kaaba is destroyed, the whole religion would be destroyed as well. And as long as Kaaba is surviving and standing up straight, nothing can happen to Islam. Our scholars say standing up straight, qiyam of Kaaba, it means that performing all the manasik and a'mal and duties that we have towards Kaaba, like Hajj and Umrah, etc., and making Kaaba as our Qibla, for all those duties in which istiqbalul Qibla, facing towards Kaaba, is considered to be an obligation, and taking care of all the rest of the duties towards Kaaba, as long as Muslim Ummah is taking care of all these lists of responsibilities towards Kaaba, Kaaba will remain standing up straight. And as long as Kaaba will remain standing up straight, Islam likewise will stand up straight and will survive. The moment the Muslim Ummah will stop doing their duties towards Kaaba, like performing the Hajj and Umrah, and all the duties in which istiqbalul Qibla is considered to be a shart and condition, and all the responsibilities we have towards Kaaba, Kaaba would be destroyed, virtually destroyed. And as soon as Kaaba would be virtually destroyed, Islam would be destroyed as well. Kaaba also personifies the wahi and revelation of Allah, because wahi started at Kaaba, is the center of wahi. Kaaba also personifies taharat and cleanliness, because we find in the Holy Quran Allah has said, addressing Prophet Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam, وَعَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ أَنْ تَحْهِرَ بَيْتِيَ لِلْطَائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ. We took our covenant towards Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam to clean this house for those لِلْطَائِفِينَ, for those who perform the tawaf, وَالْعَاكِفِينَ, and those who perform the i'tikaf, وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ, and those who perform the sajda and the ruku. So this house has been cleaned by true masoom messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it personifies the taharat for us. Likewise, we find that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said that la yanbaghi li ahadin an yarfa'a bina'an fawqa al-ka'ba. It's not appropriate, please pay attention, it's not appropriate for anybody to raise his construction over the elevation of Kaaba. لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ أَنْ يَرْفَعَ بِنَاءً فَوْقَ الْكَعْبَةِ. It's not appropriate for anybody to make any construction higher than Kaaba. This is another aspect, which is a thought-provoking aspect about Kaaba, which I'm just mentioning certain points to make you realize and get a little glimpse about this great house in the eyes of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Certainly the time is too short to discuss all the aspects fully. And we find the Holy Prophet has also said that man arada dunyan wa akhiratan falyumma hadha al-bayt. Whosoever wants dunya, he should go to Kaaba. Whosoever wants akhirat, he should go to Kaaba. No matter what you want to achieve in your life, you have to do the qasd of Kaaba. What a great house. You can achieve anything in your life by intending Kaaba. Another great aspect which we must realize, the importance of this house. And Imam Sadr al-Islam has said that an-nazaru ila al-ka'bati ibadatun. Looking towards Kaaba is ibadat and worship of Allah. Let's suppose you do nothing, you go to the Masjid al-Haram. That masjid in which the Kaaba is located is called al-Masjid al-Haram, which is the most superior masjid and mosque in Islam, and the greatest of the four Islamic mosques. The Masjid al-Kufa of Imam Ali al-Islam in Kufa, and Masjid al-Aqsa, from where the Holy Prophet went to Mi'raj and Ascension in Jerusalem, Bayt al-Muqaddas, and Masjid al-Nabi, the Mosque of the Prophet in Medina, and the fourth and the most important one is al-Masjid al-Haram. We call it Haram because it has hurmat and respect. It's a dignified and respectable mosque, al-Masjid al-Haram, in which the Kaaba is located. So, Imam has said that an-nazaru ila al-Ka'bati ibadatun. Looking at Kaaba is ibadat. If you go to the Masjid al-Haram, you do nothing. You do not pray, you do not recite the Quran, you do nothing. Just sit there and look at Kaaba and you are doing worship of God. Whenever we go to any mosque in Islam, it is mustahab in our Sharia. And you have, whenever you enter a mosque, you pray two rakats of prayers, hadiyatan lil masjid, in order to give that prayers to the masjid, to that mosque in which you have entered. It's the respect of every mosque in Islam. As soon as you enter into a mosque, pray two rakats of prayers for the respect of that mosque, qurbatan ilallah. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said that at-tawafu bil bayti salatun. Rotating around Kaaba is like praying. So when we enter into the Masjid al-Haram, instead of praying two rakats of prayers for the respect of that masjid, what we do is that we rotate seven times around Kaaba, and rotation of seven rotations around Kaaba is considered to be equal to praying. And a lot of has been said by our scholars about the rotation, but I wish I had time to elaborate, but I cannot. But Kaaba is something which is really unique. The entire survival of Islam is resting on the survival of Kaaba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given an open challenge in the Holy Quran, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ نُذِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ عَلِيمٍ. It's an open challenge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whosoever wants to destroy the Holy Kaaba out of zulm, Allah is going to make him taste a painful torment. So nobody can destroy Kaaba. If somebody wants to destroy Kaaba from the perspective that Kaaba is the qibla of all the Muslims, he will certainly face the wrath of Allah right in this world, then and there. Nobody can destroy Kaaba. This is an open challenge of God in the Holy Quran. And somebody came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and said that لِمَا سُمِّيَتِ الْكَعْبَةُ كَعْبَةً. Why the Kaaba is being named as Kaaba? Why is it called Kaaba in the Arabic language? And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, لِأَنَّهَا مُرَبَّعَةٌ. Please pay attention. Because Kaaba is square. It's cubical. In Arabic, a cubical shape is called مُكَعَّب. Since it's square, that's why it is called Kaaba. The guy is asking Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, why do we call Kaaba as Kaaba? And Imam said, because it is square in its shape. لِأَنَّهَا مُرَبَّعَةٌ. So he said, why is it square then? Why is Kaaba made square? And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, لِأَنَّهَا بِحِذَاءِ الْبَيْتِ الْمَعْمُورِ وَهُوَ مُرَبَّعٌ. Because this Kaaba is in line with the Al-Bayt al-Ma'mur, which is square, so that is why this Kaaba is also square. Al-Bayt al-Ma'mur, brothers and sisters, it's a house of Allah, it's a house of worship, located on the fourth heaven. This Kaaba is the mataf of the humans and jinns. The humans and jinns do the tawaf of this Kaaba on earth. And on the fourth heaven, there is another house of worship of Allah, which we call Al-Baytul Ma'mur, which is the mataf of Malaika. Angels of Allah revolve around that house. And that house is called Al-Baytul Ma'mur. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, since the Baytul Ma'mur is square in its shape, that is why Kaaba, since Kaaba is in line with Baytul Ma'mur, so the Kaaba is also square. So now the persons asked Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, وَلِمَا صَارَ الْبَيْتُ الْمَعْمُورُ مُرَبَّعًا. Why is that so that Baytul Ma'mur has been made square? Why is it square? And Imam said, لِأَنَّهُ بِحِذَاءِ الْعَرْشِ وَهُوَ مُرَبَّعًا. Because Baytul Ma'mur is in line with the Arsh and throne of Allah, and Arsh of Allah is square, so that is why Baytul Ma'mur on the fourth heaven is square, and since Baytul Ma'mur is square, so Kaaba on earth is also square, and all three are in line with each other. So now you understand why the Holy Kaaba has been made square? No, the hadith is not complete yet. So Imam said that Baytul Ma'mur is square because Baytul Ma'mur is in line with the Arsh and throne of Allah, and Arsh and throne is square, so that's why Baytul Ma'mur on the fourth heaven is square. And since Baytul Ma'mur is square, so that's why Kaaba on earth is also square. Now the guy asks, okay, لِمَا صَارَ الْأَرْشُ مُرَبَّعًا. Why is the Arsh of Allah square in shape? And here's when Imam Sadiq al-Islam informed us that لَأَنَّ الْكَلِمَاتِ الَّتِي بُنِيَ عَلَيْهَا الْإِسْلَامُ أَرْبَعٌ. سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. The reason why Arsh of Allah has been made square, Imam said, is because the kalimat, the words on which Islam is founded, are four, and those words are Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wala ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar. These are the four words upon which the whole religion Islam is founded, and since the words on which Islam is founded are four in number, that is why Arsh of Allah is square. And since Arsh is square, so that's why Baytul Ma'mur on the fourth heaven is square. And since Baytul Ma'mur is square, so that is why Kaaba is also made square. But, so La ilaha illallah, Subhanallah, and Alhamdulillah, and Allahu Akbar are the greatest statements, you know, that we call a Tasbihatul Arba'a. And there's so much to say about these statements. There's so much to say. The more you say about that, the less you have said. Because it's so much being hidden in these four greatest words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet has said, whosoever says, Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar, once Allah grows a tree, sows a tree in the paradise for him.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Hamdulillah Akbar.
And the guy was sitting in the gathering of the Holy Prophet. He said, Ya Rasulullah, okay, and you, in fact, since the time I came out of my house, all I was saying was Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. So I must be having a big garden by now in the paradise. Prophet said, yes, iyyakum an tursilu ilayha niranan fatuhrikuha. But make sure, don't send a fire to burn down the entire garden that you have made for you in the paradise. Sometimes we perform actions after the good deed that burn down all the good deeds that we have performed. You know, Ayatullah Dastgah Shirazi, one of our great scholars, Imam Jumma of the city of Shiraz, who was killed by the Munafiqeen in Shiraz on the time of Namaz Jumma, he has several great books, and one of his books was Dastan Hayesh Gift, Interesting Stories. That's the name of his book in Persian. And in that book he has mentioned a story that in the city there was a very famous businessman in the city called Mirza Najjar. And one of the great scholars, one of the persons having ma'rifat, he saw in his dream a big palace in the paradise, and he asked from somebody, whom does this palace belong? And he was told, this palace in the paradise belongs to Mirza Najjar, that famous businessman in the city. And this person is still seeing in the dream that all of a sudden a lightning comes and burns down the whole palace in the paradise. It's gone. With one flash of lightning. And he suddenly woke up, and in the middle of the night he went straight to the house. It was a small city, you know, people used to know each other. He went straight to the house of Mirza Najjar, knocked his door in the middle of the night, and Mirza Najjar woke up and he came out of the house, and this guy asked Mirza Najjar, tell me, what have you done right now? Exactly, tell me, what have you done right now? And he said, what's the matter? He said, I was seeing in my dream you had a palace in the paradise, and all of a sudden a lightning came and burned down your palace. Nothing remained of your palace. He said, yes, right now, what I did, I slapped on the face of my mother. So there are certain actions, brothers and sisters, if we perform, we actually kill all our good deeds altogether. Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar is one of the best and the most comprehensive zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And each of these four zikrs has its own specific quality and specific asar and results on the human spirituality. So what I was telling you is the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where he was explaining why the Holy Kaaba was made square in shape, and he said because it's in the line of Al-Baytul Ma'mur, which is on the fourth heaven, and that Baytul Ma'mur is square. So that's why Kaaba is square, and Baytul Ma'mur is square because the Arsh and throne of Allah is square, and Arsh is square because Islam is founded on four words, and those words are Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. But brothers and sisters, any building would be incomplete without a foundation. Can you imagine a building without a foundation? We have been talking about the four corners. We didn't discuss the foundation yet. That is precisely why we learn from the Sahihat Zurara, the authentic hadith of Zurara from Imam Baqir alayhi salam, where he has mentioned, that لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ أَسَاسٌ وَأَسَاسُ الْإِسْلَامِ حُبُّنَا أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. Everything has a foundation, and the foundation of Islam is our love, the love of us Ahlul Bayt, alayhimus salam. The concept of walayat of Ahlul Bayt, alayhimus salam. That's the foundation of entire religion. The whole religion is, along with all its four pillars, is resting on the foundation of Ahlul Bayt, alayhimus salam's walayat, which we should never forget. So that's why our scholars say that, actually my teacher was saying in his lesson, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, see, Allah commanded Prophet Ibrahim after he constructed this holy house, Allah commanded him to announce among the humanity so that they can come forward for the Hajj towards this house. Prophet Ibrahim is a ma'soom, great messenger of Allah, and he made his announcement. وَأَجْزِمْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ظَامِرٍ and on every lean camel يَأْتُونَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيقٍ. People will come from all corners of the world, and they will respond to the call of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, and that's exactly what happened. Prophet, our scholars say, Prophet Ibrahim raised his voice about Hajj, and even those people who were in the lineage of their fathers and the wombs of their mothers, even the souls of the people responded to the call of Prophet Ibrahim. Now whosoever responded to the call of Prophet Ibrahim, once when he gets born, he performs the Hajj once. Whosoever responded to the call of Prophet Ibrahim twice or thrice or whatsoever number of times, when he gets born, he performs the Hajj in this life, in his life, for the same number of time according to which he responded to the call of Prophet Ibrahim. So it depends how did we react to the call of that masoom messenger of Allah. If you responded once, you would only do Hajj once in your life. If you responded 10 times, you would be given the opportunity to perform Hajj for ten times. But my teacher was saying, the point to note is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in this verse of Holy Quran, وَأَجْزِمْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِ, announce among the people regarding Hajj, يَأْتُوكَ, people will be coming to you, Ibrahim, coming to you, addressing to Prophet Ibrahim, يَأْتُوكَ. Allah did not say in the Holy Quran, my teacher was saying, Allah didn't say that أَجْزِمْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِ يَأْتُوهَا, people will come to Kaaba. Of course people will come to Kaaba for performing Hajj. That's more than obvious. But that's not what Allah has said in the Holy Quran. What Allah has mentioned, Yatuka, people would come to you. Remember, Prophet Ibrahim is the Imam of his time. It's the responsibility of the people to come and see the Imam of the time at the occasion of Hajj. If you want your Hajj to be accepted. See what Imam Baqir al-Islam has said, Tamamul Hajj liqa'ul Imam. The completion and perfection of your Hajj is to meet the Imam of your time. Meet the Imam. How many people go and meet the Imam of their time? If you want your Hajj to be perfect and complete, Imam Baqir al-Islam has said, Tamamul Hajj liqa'ul Imam. Perfection of Hajj, completion of Hajj is to see the Imam. Did you see the Imam of your time? How many people perform the duties towards the Imam of their time and meet the Imam of their time? Prophet has commanded us already, اِبْدَعُوا بِمَكَّةَ وَاخْتِمُوا بِنَا. Start with Makkah and end up with us. Come for our ziyarat. Do the ziyarat of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Our Hajj is incomplete without the ziyarat in the real sense. We have to remember our responsibility. Once we find in the history, Imam Baqir al-Islam was there rotating around Kaaba, and one of the Banu Umayyah came and objected and taunted. He was sarcastic about that action of Imam, and he taunted over the Imam that your grandfather, the Prophet, he took the entire Ummah out of worshipping idols and stones. But you are still wasting your time rotating around stones? And Imam Baqir al-Islam replied a very great answer at that occasion. And he said that, إِنَّمَا أُمِرَ, please pay attention, إِنَّمَا أُمِرَ النَّاسَ أَنْ يَأْتُوا هَذِهِ الْأَحْجَارِ فَيَتُوفُوا بِهَا ثُمَّ يَجِئُونَ فَيُخْبِرُونَ بِوَلَايَتِهِمْ وَيَعْرَضُوا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرَهُمْ. People were commanded to come to these stones and do the tawaf and rotation of Kaaba. And after that, they were supposed to come to see us and inform us about the concept of walayat, that they believe in our walayat, and they accept our, and they take the oath of allegiance towards the concept of our khilafat and government, and present their help and their support towards the concept of our walayat. That is why they were commanded to come and rotate around these stones. Not just without a reason that we go and rotate around certain stones and come back without a purpose and wisdom. Otherwise we would be really rotating around stones, which has no significance in Islam. Even the Hajar al-Aswad, the black stone, is considered to be one of the signs of the Imam of the time. And Islamically speaking, no one can dare install the black stone on that corner of Kaaba except a Masoom Imam. No one can dare lift the stone and stall it on that corner. It's impossible. It's one of the signs of the Imam. And when you go and touch the stone and kiss the stone, of course it's mustahab in Islam. Even the Wahhabis do not stop us from kissing the stone because they said that Umar ibn al-Khattab kissed the stone. They don't stop nobody from kissing that stone because they cannot not deny the importance and the significance and the fact that it's mustahab in Islam and that the Holy Prophet kissed the stone and the companions kissed the stone. They don't stop. The same Wahhabis who stop you from kissing the walls, they don't stop you from kissing the stone. And the dua which is recommended when you put your hand on the black stone is a dua which is mustahab in our Sharia. That Misaqi ta'ahadtuhu litashhada li bil muwafat. This is my Misaq and covenant towards the walayat of the Imam of my time that I am giving you the oath of allegiance. Because this stone is considered to be Yameenullah fi ardihi. This is the right hand of Allah on earth. You put your right hand on the stone, so as if you are shaking the right hand of God and doing the oath of allegiance with the representative of God, the Imam of the time, and accepting his walayat and government concept. And the dua that we read, that Misaqi ta'ahadtuhu, I'm actually doing my Misaq and covenant. So be a witness before Allah on the day of judgment that I was faithful towards the walayat and government concept of the Imam of my time. It's not without a reason and without wisdom that what we perform in Kaaba and rotate around stones without a purpose. There are a lot of people who don't know and don't even think and don't bother to understand why we perform Hajj, what it is all about. Why we slaughter the animal. The flesh and the blood of the animal doesn't reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Quran has already said, لَيَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُهُمُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. The flesh and the blood of the animal is never going to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is going to reach Allah is your taqwa. In other words, a person came after performing Hajj and he met Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that I went for Hajj and I did this and this and this. Imam said, when you were slaughtering the animal, were you thinking of slaughtering your desires as you were slaughtering the neck of that animal? Were you mindful and thoughtful of slaughtering your wishes and desires at that time? He said, no, Ibn Rasulullah, I never thought about that in that way. I was just slaughtering the animal. Every action of Islam has wisdom or several wisdoms behind it. Don't do it, you know, senselessly. Why do we perform the two rakats at the Maqam Ibrahim? Why do we rotate around Kaaba? Why do we do the sa'i between Safa and Marwa, which are considered to be the Sha'airullah? In our society, in Pakistan and India specifically, in our culture, we find that people consider that as you get old, you should better go now for performing Hajj. So Hajj is something which belongs to the old age only, which is totally wrong in Islam. The year Hajj becomes wajib on you, it is compulsory on you to go for Hajj. If the wife is capable to perform Hajj, it would be wajib on her to go alone without the husband. If husband becomes mustati and capable, it would be wajib on the husband to go for Hajj without the wife. And you cannot delay the Hajj from the year it becomes wajib on you. Delaying of Hajj itself is considered to be a bigger sin in Islam. Salawat. So what I was telling you is that every construction, in addition to the pillars, it requires a foundation. And the foundation of the construction of Islam is nothing but the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Which we should never underestimate this concept and remember and renew our oath of allegiance as we go to Kaaba, and we must recall our responsibilities towards And that's why, precisely why we go for ziyarah, that's one of the major reasons why we renew our oath of allegiance with the Imam of our time, and Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and their walayat. That's why we go for ziyarah. They are the ones who taught us Hajj and all the rest of the Islamic rulings. So we find our scholars say, then Abraha attacked with his elephants over Kaaba, Allah made him taste the painful torment and punishment right then and there. And all of them were killed. But when we find, after the incident of Karbala, when Hajjaj ibn Yusuf by the command of Yazid attacked Kaaba with bin Janik and destroyed the walls of Kaaba to take the bayat and allegiance from Abdullah ibn Zubair, who was not supposed to hide in the haram of Makkah, to insult the haram of Makkah, because this haram is considered to be haramul amn. It's a haram of security. Even a blade of grass is haram to be picked from that haram. You cannot even kill an insect or animal in that haram. He was not supposed to take refuge there. But he did so. He did a haram. Abdullah ibn Zubair was the one who not accepted Yazid to be the ruler, neither accepted Yazid to be the ruler, nor he accepted Imam Hussein alayhi salam to be the wali and mawla and ruler. He was a zal and muzil and misguided person. Our scholars say, the same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who attacked the lashkar of the army of Abraha and killed all of them except one, and he returned back to his army, to his people, and informed the news, and then that last person was also killed. The same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not save Abdullah ibn Zubair, nor did Allah save his Kaaba. At that occasion, when Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was attacking Kaaba in the time of Yazid, why? Did you think? Allah has given an open challenge to defend Kaaba, and he defended at the occasion of the elephants. Why didn't Allah defend Kaaba when Hajjaj ibn Yusuf by command of Yazid attacked Kaaba? Our scholars say, because of the fact, this again signifies the importance of leadership and walayat in Islam. Somebody who is against the Imam of the time, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he has no respect and sanctity for his life or honor or dignity or belongings and nothing. So Yazid did haram, of course. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf did haram, of course. And likewise, Abdullah ibn Zubair did haram by seeking refuge at that occasion. Imam Hussein al-Islam converted his Hajj into Umrah and left the limits of the haram of Kaaba for the sake of the sanctity of that haram. But he did not, Abdullah ibn Zubair did not. And he was the cause, in addition to Yazid and Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, he was the cause of insult of Kaaba. And since he was not somebody who accepts the Imam of his time, Allah holds no respect for saving his life. Even if Kaaba gets destroyed, it would be let go, it would be allowed to be destroyed, but Allah is not going to defend and protect a person like Abdullah ibn Zubair who does not accept the Imam of his time, because he has no respect in the eyes of Allah. We must understand the important aspects of historic events and try to understand the reasoning and wisdoms behind that, so that we can improve our behaviors towards Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And there are so many similarities, brothers and sisters, between Imam Ali alayhi salam and Kaaba. The hadith of the Holy Prophet, which I recited in the beginning of my speech, where the Prophet had said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, Ya Ali, masaluka masalul Kaaba. Your example is that of Kaaba. You are similar to Kaaba. Tu'ta wala ta'ti. People are supposed to come to Kaaba. The Kaaba is not obliged to go to people and perform the Hajj of people. People are supposed to come to Kaaba to perform the Hajj. Tu'ta wala ta'ti. Tuhajju wala tahij. People are supposed to perform the Hajj of Kaaba, come to Kaaba to perform the Hajj. Kaaba is not supposed to go to people to perform Hajj. People are supposed to come to Kaaba, Kaaba is not supposed to go to the people. Likewise, it's the responsibility of the people to come see Imam Ali alayhi salam and accept him as their Imam and obey him as their ruler. It's not the responsibility of Imam Ali to go to anybody. Imam Ali was the Imam and Wali and Mawla, even though back then when he was sitting back in his place for 25 years approximately, he was still the Wali and Imam. Whether people accept him or doesn't accept him, people were the ones who were losers, not Imam Ali alayhi salam. His walayat, his walayat does not depend on the acceptability of the people. It's nothing to do with the people. Allah has made him the Wali and Mawla, and that's enough. Whether people accept it or don't accept it, it's their problem. It's not the problem of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And then we find likewise how we have learned from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that an-nazaru ila al-ka'bati ibadatun, looking at Kaaba is ibadat. Likewise, the Holy Prophet has said an-nazaru ila wajhi aliyyin ibadatun, looking at the face of Ali is ibadat. Looking at the face of Ali is ibadat. How much similarity is there between Imam Ali and Kaaba? It's not without a reason Allah made him to be born inside Kaaba, and he's the only person, Allama An-Nishapuri in Al-Mustadrak Al-Sahihain, one of the authentic books of the Sunni brothers, Al-Mustadrak Al-Sahihain, Sahih Al-Bukhari was Sahih Muslim. In his book Al-Mustadrak has mentioned that لَمْ يُولَدْ قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدَهُ مَوْلُودٌ غَيْرُهُ, there was no one ever born before or after Imam Ali inside Kaaba. That's what Allama Hakim Nishapuri has written in his book. That's a specific fazilat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Looking at the face of Ali is ibadat, and looking at Kaaba is also ibadat. This riwayat has been narrated by Ummul Mumin Aisha. She said, I was sitting and I saw my father Abu Bakr continuously looking at the face of Imam Ali alayhi salam, staring at his face. And I was shocked and I asked my father, why are you staring at the face of Ali ibn Abi Talib? And he said, didn't you listen to the hadith of the Holy Prophet when he said, An-nazaru ila wajh Ali ibn Abi Talib, or wajh Ali in ibadatun, looking at the face of Ali is ibadat. Wow. And likewise, the Holy Prophet has said to Imam Ali alayhi salam that ma masaluka fil nas illa ka masal surat qul huwallahu ahad fil Quran. Your example is that of the Surah Ikhlas, Surah qul huwallahu ahad in Quran. Man qara'aha marratan faqad qara'a thulutsal Quran. Whosoever recites qul huwallahu ahad once, he has recited one third of the Holy Quran. وَمَنْ قَرَأَهَا مَرَّتَيْنِ فَقَدْ قَرَأَ الثُّلُثَيِ الْقُرْآنِ. Whosoever recites the Surah Al-Ikhlas two times, he has recited two thirds of the Holy Quran. وَمَنْ قَرَأَهَا ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ. And whosoever recites قُرْهُ اللَّهُ وَهَدْ three times, فَقَدْ قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ كُلَّهُ. He has recited the entire Quran. وَكَذَا أَنْتَ يَا عَلِي. And you are also likewise. مَنْ أَحَبَّكَ بِقَلْبِهِ فَقَدْ أَخَذَ ثُلُثَ الْإِيمَانِ. Whosoever loves you by his heart only, he has acquired one-third of the faith, one-third of Iman. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّكَ بِقَلْبِهِ وَلِسَانِهِ. And whosoever loves you with his heart and with his tongue has actually acquired two-thirds of Iman and faith. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّكَ بِقَلْبِهِ وَلِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ فَقَدْ جَمَعَ الْإِيمَانَ كُلَّهُ أَوْ أَخَذَ الْإِيمَانَ كُلَّهُ. And whosoever loves Imam Ali alayhi salam with his heart and his tongue and with his actions, practically he loves with his amal and actions, he has acquired the entire Iman. And then Prophet said his final statement that لَوْ أَحَبَّكَ أَهْلُ الْأَرْضِ
كما يحبك أهل السماء ما عذب أحد منهم بالنار. If the people on earth had loved Imam Ali the way the people on the sky love Imam Ali alayhi salam, Allah would have punished nobody in the hellfire.
So we find that Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam are actually the foundation of Kaaba. And unless we perform لا يزال الدين قائما ما قامت الكعبة, the religion will keep on standing up straight as long as Kaaba is standing up straight. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said إِنَّ قَائِمَنَا لَوْ قَدْ قَامَ لَقَدْ أَخَذَهُمْ فَقَتَعَ عَيْدِهِمْ فَطَافَ قَدْ قَطَعَ عَيْدِهِمْ وَطَافَ بِهِمْ وَقَالَ هَؤُلَاءِ سُرَّاقُ اللَّهِ. Those people who make this Kaaba as their slaves and make this Kaaba as subservient towards the political goals of the Tawaghit. In other words, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, when he would rise, he would grab those people, cut their hands, rotate them around Kaaba and announce that these people are the thieves. It's not without a reason that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam would appear from Kaaba on the day of Ashura. When he would appear, he would be standing, he would be sitting close to the wall of Kaaba. And the first ayat of Quran that he would recite after his appearance, بَقِيَّةُ اللَّهِ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. When somebody said to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, if I would like to say salam to my trust Imam, shall I say Assalamu alayka ya Amir al-Mu'mineen? Imam said no, this title is specific to Imam Ali alayhi salam. And then Imam Sadiq said that Assalamu alayka ya Baqiyat Allah. And then Imam recited the verse of Holy Quran, Baqiyatullahi khayrun lakum in kuntum mu'mineen. This verse is specific to Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. It's for Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. He is the Baqiyatullah. He is the remainder of Allah on earth. We must remember our duty towards the Imam of our time who appears on the occasion of Hajj every year and he performs the Hajj every year. Those people who meet the Imam of their time, they really deserve congratulations. Those people who perform their duties towards the walayat of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam on the occasion of Hajj, protesting against the mushrikeen of today, which is the sunnah of Prophet and sunnah of Imam Ali alayhi salam, that marhum Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi had announced that it's compulsory for us to protest against the mushrikeen on the occasion of Hajj, which is the sunnah of Prophet and Imam Ali alayhi salam. Because we cannot harm the Holy Kaaba and harm the purpose for what it stands. This is khiyanat and betrayal towards the walayat of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. And actually, Imam Hussein alayhi salam was protecting Kaaba on the day of Ashura. Actually, Imam Hussein alayhi salam was protecting Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar on the day of Ashura. He protected the entire religion, which is founded on those four pillars. And he's tolerated so much hardship for the sake of Islam. Come what may, but Imam is not ready to compromise on any of his principles. لا أجيب إلى شيء مما يدعون. I would not respond to any single thing what they are demanding from me to give in. Such a great courage of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, which was similarly found in Bani Hashim and likewise in the Ashab of Imam Hussein on the footsteps of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Look at Hazrat Zainab. After the Shahadat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we found that Hazrat Fidza came and informed her that I have a big news for you.
Hazrat Zainab said, I don't have any big news remaining for me after the shahadat of my brother. Now nothing is big for Hazrat Zainab. Hazrat Fitza said, no, I have something to tell you, because now they are preparing their horses to crush Imam Hussain alayhi salam's body under the hooves of the horses. They did not suffice on that. They did not end it on the shahadat of Imam Hussain. They snatched away the dress of Imam Hussain. They cut off the finger of Imam Hussain. They stole the ring of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. They cut the hands of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. They took away the mama of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. Nothing was left behind. How evil they were. And now Hazrat Fitza came and said that I have a news for big news for you. Now they want to crush Imam Hussain alayhi salam's corpse under the hooves of the horses. فَقَامَ أَشْرَةُ فَوَارِسِ And 10 horses were prepared to crush the corpse of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. I don't know what happened to the heart of Hazrat Zainab. Maybe, as my heart says, maybe Hazrat Zainab would have faced towards Najaf and said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, Baba, come and see what is going on towards Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And after that, when this caravan came towards the bazaar of Kufa, we find that the women in the bazaar of Kufa, they started distributing the dates among the Ahl-e Haram and the Bani Hashim, and Hazrat Umm Kulsoom took the dates away from the hand of some children, and she said that in Sadaqata alayna muharramatun, Sadaqa is haram on us. On Ahl Bayt, Sadaqa is haram. But Ummah Habiba came forward and said to Hazrat Zainab, this is not Sadaqa, these dates are of Nadr. I had done my Nadr. Hazrat Zainab said, what Nadr did you perform? She said, I did my Nadr. May Allah give me the blessing to go for the ziyarat of my Mawla Imam Hussain alayhi salam in Medina. And Hazrat Zainab in Medina. And Hazrat Zainab said, that Ummah Habiba, Allah has fulfilled. Zainab said, your nadr has been fulfilled by Allah. Zainab has arrived in your town. No need to go for Medina. There's no need to go for Medina. Zainab has arrived in your town. Umm Habiba got surprised. Where is Zainab? I don't know. I was not informed. Where is she? And Hazrat Zainab had a look on the face of Umm Habiba. Of course, Abu Habiba, she said, if you see Zainab, but you know Zainab, who is Zainab? And Abu Habiba looked at the face of Zainab and said, are you Zainab? And she said, yes, I am Zainab. Of course, Abu Habiba never saw Hazrat Zainab, tied up in chains, without the hijab, with her hair open. And she said, my Zainab has an alamat and sign. She never used to get separated from her brother Hussain. Zainab pointed towards the head of Imam Hussain. Head of Imam Hussain. And said, that is the head of Hussain. That is the head of the brother Hussain ibn Ali. And assalamu alayka ya Ibn Rasulullah. Zainab did not get separated from her brother.
Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الصحراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفر والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Please recite a Surah Al-Fatiha for the following marhumin: Marhum Riayat Hussain Naqvi, Marhum Masood Hussain, Marhum Zawar Hussain, Marhum Hashim Raza, Marhum Hassan Akhtar Naqvi, Marhum Sayyid Zahir Haider Rizvi, Marhum Sayyid Nazirul Hassan Rizvi, Marhuma Amina Binte Allah Deen.